So this week we continue our discipleship series with this message called Strength, that we are called to offer all our strength to the Lord as part of the Great Commandment. And we've been bringing it back to this each week in Mark 12, when Jesus is questioned by an expert of the law, what is the greatest commandment in the whole law? And Jesus answers, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Now, the person didn't ask him for the second one, but he gave it anyway. But that'll come back later. Jesus' chief commandment encourages us to be able to offer all our strength to God in love. And when we hear this call to offer our strength, you might immediately go to your muscles. I think when we did this a while ago, we all kind of did this as our idea of what strength is. But I think that could lead to some unhelpful assumptions about what we're being asked. That we need to be strong to be able to love the Lord, or that loving God is only for those who have much strength, who have a lot of strength, who have something really great to offer. So perhaps the image of our hands and our feet would be more helpful as we think of our strength. Our hands and our feet, those are symbolic of what we set out to do with the energy that we have. Our strength being then an energy, a vitality, a life that we have within us. So if you are here and you are breathing, then you have strength. There is strength within you. I also want us to consider that you can apply this understanding, the word strength, to another understanding. Think of strength as those things that you are particularly gifted in. Those things that you've come to recognize are your strengths. So both ways of thinking about that kind of come together in a package that we're going to be considering this morning. Loving the Lord, your God, with all your strength at a spiritual level involves a check-in for us, I think. Like just that little bit, love the Lord with all your strength. I think that begs a question, a check-in. How are we using what God has given us, the energy, the strengths? How are we using that? Are we offering the best of ourselves to God and to others? Our first fruits or our last morsels? I think that this can be a considerable and lasting struggle for us, something that continues, that we can continue to question and continue to bring before God. What would it take for us to give our strength to God in our practices of discipleship, in the prayer, in the study, in the service that we offer? I think it would require some questions being asked about our priorities. So this past Tuesday at men's group, we had a lively discussion about how often we use this phrase, I'm too busy. I'm too busy. I'm so busy. Or someone asks us something and we say, I'm too busy for that. And what we ended up talking about is this sense that so often when we say that, it's really just another way of saying, well, that isn't my priority right now. I've got some other things going on. And when I think about that or when you ask me to do that, it doesn't rank high enough. So then I'm too busy for that thing. So how are we engaging with these spiritual practices that we've been talking about each week? Are we too busy? Or are they just maybe not a high enough priority right now for us? Have you picked something new out to try? Or have you reconnected with a favorite practice? And then along with that regular encouragement to explore some practices, there's this added dimension that we would also consider committing to give God our best, our strength. So when we're doing a spiritual practice, when we're trying some things, that we're doing it out of our strength. We're doing it with the best that we have. We all have strength. We use it every day. What are we investing our strength in? And one of the challenges we face, offering all our strength to the Lord, can be, do we know them? Do we know our strengths? And do we know the strength that we have? Describe your strengths is a famously common interview question. I can remember some of my early job interviews, and even though I had been prepped and I knew that question was coming, when it was asked of me and I was right there, I would fumble through it. I would stumble through it. And it's not that I didn't know what I was going to say, it's that for some reason it just didn't feel right. I wasn't confident enough in it. It didn't resonate deeply with me because I was still learning my strengths. I was young. I didn't quite know exactly what I have to offer, and so wasn't quite as comfortable and confident around that question. Maybe some of you have had a similar experience. It's hard to answer that question. What are your strengths? And maybe the other one, what are your weaknesses? Employers want to know your strengths, but they also want to know if you know what your strengths are, and that's why that question is important. Are you aware of the ways that you can benefit the organization? What are you bringing to the table? And when we aren't sure about our strengths, when we're not confident in them, when we don't know how best to use them, we can honestly feel a little bit lost. We might feel a little bit like this hamster. We're in a cage. We're spinning this wheel endlessly without ever having the feeling that our effort, our strength, is being put to its proper use. Sure, you're spending lots of energy. You're sweating. Is all this sweat and work actually getting us anywhere? And maybe it is getting us somewhere, but is that where we're supposed to be going? Is that a good use of our strength? So loving God with all our strength at some level involves answering this old interview question. What are your strengths? Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And then it says, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So honoring God in this conversation, honoring God with our strength, with our bodies, is about using our strength the way that He would want us to, according to His will and His purposes for us. And I think this becomes important for our work life, for our relational life, and especially for our inner life, the relationship that we have with ourselves. And we're going to get to that a little bit later. So to help us with this, there's a spiritual discipline that would be inward focused, and it's called learning. The inward spiritual practice of learning can serve us really well on this question. Don Whitney, he's a professor, and he authored the book called Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life. He writes that Jesus is specific about learning from Him. In Matthew 11, He writes, "Take my yoke upon you." A yoke is a way, it's a teaching. "And learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls." And Don Whitney continues, he says, "To accept the yoke of a disciple of Jesus means to commit to a lifetime of learning about Jesus and from Jesus." That's discipleship. Taking this yoke upon you. Learning about God, specifically how He has created you, how He has designed us, that can help us to unleash the potential of our strength. I think this applies first and foremost to discovering who we are in Christ. As Catherine talked about this morning, where our strength comes from. That we have strength because He loves us. Because He has redeemed us from sin, set our feet upon a rock, we have a firm foundation to build our lives from. Instead of maybe building a life on sinking sand. Doesn't matter how fancy the house is, it can all fall apart. Psalm 40 verse 2 talks about this, that He set our feet on a rock, gave us a firm place to stand. We come at this learning from a position that God isn't angry with us. He's not mad at us. We don't need to earn our freedom, but it's been graced to us. And so we're confident that we are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us with His love. So love being a source of strength. Romans 8 speaks that we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. So this is a deep inner well of strength. Learning about who we are in Christ gives us this foundation, this place to build more strength from. And strength grows as we continue to rest in who we are in Christ and learn about who we are in Christ, our identity. And then learning continues its work in us over time, building into us, off this foundation, building our self-awareness, building our self-understanding, building our emotional ability, our emotional intelligence, our spiritual wholeness, continuing to learn about ourselves. As Christians, we are awake to the power and purpose of our inward learning journey, the critical importance of self-discovery, how God has designed you, how He knit you together in your mother's womb. We can learn how we're uniquely designed to love God. We can learn how we have strengths and a strength to offer. And this is one of the areas that we focus on together as a church, here at the gathering. We regularly come back to various ways of gaining this self-awareness, doing this inner work of learning. A couple of sermon series that you might remember would be our Shape series. We talked about our spiritual gifts, our heart, our abilities, our personality, and our experiences, and how we package that together and see that we have been uniquely designed for God's mission and his purpose. We had a conflict series where we brought in Katie Gingrich, who talked about different styles and approaches to approach the conflict that we face in our lives, gaining awareness of maybe what our default is, and encouraging us to grow in strength of how to deal with different types of conflict in our lives. We held a Myers-Briggs personality workshop a while ago where we learned about our personality and how to deal with people of other personalities. We had a parenting workshop where we looked at different approaches and styles to parenting. These are all ways that we are working together at the spiritual practice of learning. Learning together as a church family about God and about ourselves. There is another, I think, very exciting one that we're working on bringing you in the new year. So stay tuned for some more info on that. If you have really good eyes, you might see what that might be. But you might not know what it is. But you can look it up. The more we understand our God-given strength and where we can best use that strength to benefit God's kingdom, the more we're able to offer all our strength back to the Lord in loving service. Now, a second issue when we talk about our strength is that we need to also understand how to manage our strength, how to be good stewards of the strength that God has gifted us with. From the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, 14 to 30, you can go home and reread that, we learn that God calls each of us to be good stewards of the gifts that he has given us. He has entrusted us with some things, and we are responsible for the way that we manage those things, which includes our strength. We're talking here about tending to it, about building into our strength, sharpening the saw, if you know the lingo. We're talking about making sure that we are healthy and not burning out. So this links into an outward practice called stewardship. And it can help us tremendously. The Greek word that embodies the meaning of stewardship is epitropos, and it means manager. It means foreman, somebody who's in charge of the work of others. It means steward. And it defines our practical obedience in the administration of everything under our control, everything that has been entrusted to us. Faithful stewardship means that we fully acknowledge we are not our own, but belong to Christ, the Lord, who gave himself for us. So the things that have been entrusted to us have been entrusted to us by God for a reason, and holding that together. And that includes a lot of things. That includes our time. It includes our gifts and our strength. It includes our money. It includes the relationships that we have the privilege of knowing. And we're called to steward these things. Now, when you mention stewardship, we often, first and foremost, think of finances, because that's typically the way we think about it. It's typically the way the church talks about it as well. Be a good steward of your finances. And that typically means that we're managing the money that comes in so that we have enough to save, to spend, and to give in the ways that we've decided. But this concept does apply beyond that. It applies to our gifts and our talents as well. And stewardship is a spiritual practice that encourages us to measure that strength, just like you'd measure the money. How can you be a good manager of your money if you don't know how much you're bringing in and bringing out? So managing your strength, understanding what they are, measuring them, building into it, investing in our strengths, and also looking for opportunities to practice that strength, to give. Stewarding our strength can offer us a much-needed respite from unrealistic expectations and instead guide us toward a healthy view of our limits, while offering us some necessary structure to build our capacity. So it's really how we move toward a healthy balance in our view of our strength, not getting pulled too far in each direction. So at this point, we want to remember the second commandment that Jesus highlights, the second great commandment, that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. Love God, love neighbor, love yourself as yourself. Loving our neighbor as ourselves involves loving ourselves enough to be healthy. We can work on our areas of strength in order to increase our capacity. We can do that. We can build into our strengths instead of always worrying about shoring up some weak areas. We can do that. We can choose to do that. We can learn to live within a harmony of goodness, which is a cool way of saying we're balancing our selfless service and our self-care, our self-nurture, not getting pulled too far into one or the other. We also need to keep an eye out for those early signs of burnout, being proactive enough to head them off. They happen, and they can sneak up on you. Maybe you're feeling remarkably tired, remarkably tired. Maybe you're feeling lethargic. Maybe you've stopped caring. Don't ignore it. Don't just say, oh, it's a phase and it'll pass. The encouragement is to dig in, to figure out what's going on, to take the time to talk to somebody. Self-love is deeply connected to our love of others and our love of God. Loving ourselves includes this big idea called self-care. So at this point, I want to tell you a fable. It's an Aesop fable. It's a classic. It's an old one. And it's this. A man and his wife had the good fortune to possess a goose, which laid a golden egg every day. And lucky though they were, they soon began to think they were not getting rich fast enough. And imagining the bird must be made of gold inside, they decided to kill it in order to secure the whole store of precious metal at once. Get all the capital. But when they cut it open, they found it was just like any other goose. Thus, they neither got rich all at once, as they had hoped, nor enjoyed any longer the daily addition to their wealth. Much wants more and loses all. So the lesson of this fable is, well, there's lots of them, temperance, not being greedy. But for me, this morning, it's understanding balance. That if you don't take care of your capital, your production will suffer. And your capital, the capital we're talking about this morning, is your strength. The goose reminds us that sacrificing ourselves to achieve short-term success has a dangerous long-term implication. Constantly improving our minds, caring for our heart and spiritual health, tending to our physicality, our physical health, and being nurtured socially, each of these areas affect the quality and the capacity of our strength. In order to love our neighbors and love God fully, we need to consider how we are caring for ourselves. If we hold ourselves in a harsh light, in a harsh view, shame and guilt, some of the songs we were talking about, if we condemn ourselves, how can we then offer grace and mercy and understanding to our neighbors? There's a reason that we sing songs every Sunday morning about similar themes, about coming to God and letting go of these things, letting go of the sin and the guilt and the shame. That forms us. That's a practice. We're trying to train ourselves to bring that stuff to God and get corrected, get a course correction. This is healthy stuff. So if we find that we do not have grace and love for our neighbor, might that mean that we need to address how we are treating ourselves? If you don't have it out here, do you have it in here? Here are a few questions that might help. If you're new to this idea of stewarding your strength, if this is kind of a newer concept to you, just a couple of questions, some practical stuff I throw up there to help. So on a daily basis, you could do a daily check-in. You can come up with your own questions. These are just suggestions. On a daily basis, as much as it is up to you, listen to what your body is telling you. Do you have enough flexibility in your day to respond to the rhythms of your strength? If all of a sudden you felt strong, could you respond? If you felt weak, could you respond? Is there flexibility in your day? Are you being kind to yourself or putting yourself last today? Are you being fair to yourself, living within the limits of your strength, or pushing harder than you need to and not stewarding your day well? On a weekly basis, you might ask a different kind of question. You might take a look back at the week you've just come through. Has it been extra heavy? And I know sometimes it is. You come through your week and you're like, wow, that was more. That was a lot. That was hard. So a question might be, Can I take it back fast? Can I regroup this week? Can I build something into my week this week where I start to recover for the heaviness of last week? Because if you continue, if you say, no, I can't, this week's just as bad as last week, or this week's even worse, and that continues, you are actually forming a habit that says, don't listen, don't listen, don't listen. There's a higher priority than you and your care and your feelings. And that's a dangerous habit to form. On a monthly basis, you might ask questions like, how is your energy level? How is your strength this month? Are you getting done the things that you need to get done? Or is it more like a hamster on a wheel? And then what adjustments can be made to be more in balance, more peace, more prayer, and more care this month? So this is more general things. Is there a shift I need to make? Is there something I need to build into my life? Because after a month, when I look back, things have gotten off the rails a bit. I need to actually be intentional about doing something new, making a shift. And then annually, I always encourage people to take an annual retreat of sorts. You might not have the luxury of 3 days, but you might have the luxury of 3 hours where you ask some really good questions of yourself. Where am I in my relationships with God, with family, and myself? So just taking stock of where you're at, measuring your strength. And then what can I celebrate in my gift of strength this year? What has gone really well? Try to appreciate the things that have happened from your strength. And then what changes do I need to make this year to build my strength or honor my strength? So those are some practical self-care types of questions. If this idea of stewardship is kind of new to you, you can start here and see where it goes. A corporate practice, when we're talking about our strength, is service. How we serve corporately together. Richard Foster in his book writes this. In his most famous teaching on service, Jesus concluded, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." How deep is this idea of service embedded into God and who he is? Even the Son of Man came to serve. Our Lord's unique service, redemption through the cross, is an unrepeatable thing. However, we are called to serve likewise through the many little deaths of going beyond ourselves. And as we live out our lives for the good of others, amazingly, we find ourselves. We discover our sense of place. We get off the hamster cage, and we realize that our strength has purpose, that it belongs, that it's part of what God is doing in the world. Colossians 3:23 again says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart." And the word there contains soul. It contains your whole being, kind of like this love the Lord with all. It's got that same vibe to it. "As working for the Lord, not for human masters, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward." You are serving the Lord Christ. And this passage speaks to how we serve when we serve. The way that we are to work as if serving the Lord is then how? With all our strength. That we bring our best to whatever we're doing. And we can think about our work as this act of love towards God. Although it's primarily directed towards others, we can actually think as Christians that we are serving the Lord as we are doing these things. And it ties in with Jesus' second great commandment, that we love our neighbor as ourselves. Jesus is holding these two concepts together for us. Remember I said he wasn't asked, "Jesus, what are the two greatest commandments?" He said the greatest, and then Jesus puts both of these pictures together. So you can't miss that, right? Don't miss that. Jesus is saying this belongs together. You asked for one, I gave you these two. You asked for one, I gave you these two. Don't miss that, because it's important. How we are treating one another is connected to how we are loving God. I'll say that again. How we are treating one another is connected to how we are loving God. As we love God, we learn to serve our neighbor, to love our neighbor. As we learn to love ourselves, or I'll say it a different way, as we understand how much God loves us, and then we choose to believe his view instead of our view, we become able to serve and love our neighbor as well. The link between these forms of love helps us understand how important it is that we learn to love ourselves. It's so important. We love God. We trust his word to us to such a degree that it actually changes how we see ourselves. And as we love ourselves better, it leads to us being able to love our neighbors with the love of Christ in us. So you say, yes, Jesus, I believe that. I believe what you've said about me. And then we pass that peace on to our neighbor. But if we haven't done that bit, we don't have this bit to offer. It's the love of Christ in us that we share with our neighbor. The spiritual practice of service helps us to hold these two great commandments together. Because service happens as we offer our strength back into the church community and back into the larger community. And we become contributors to the greater good, looking beyond our self-interest, investing in our strength for the betterment of the community. We grow in this as we practice it. And we practice it with an attentiveness to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows what he's doing in us, in each of us. He's given you strengths. He's formed and shaped you, and he gives you opportunities to practice it. So be attentive to what the Spirit is doing in you about your strength. In the early stages of our spiritual journey, we tend to be most comfortable in a receiving role, in a learning posture. But as our confidence and self-awareness develops, we begin to realize there's a bigger picture, that we are needed as well. We become both receivers and givers of strength. Each one is gifted, each one has strength, and each one's strength is integral to the health of the community. So learning about ourselves in Christ, what God has gifted us as strength, and then stewarding that strength wisely, building our capacity and caring for ourselves, and then this corporate avenue of service, these work together to enable us to offer all of our strength back to God as love. And God, in his wisdom, he's given us this strength to draw from. Our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our strength, our all towards God invariably leads to the second commandment, that we love our neighbor with the same love that we have for ourselves. So church, our combined strength lived out through service creates a testimony of love to the world around us. As we offer our combined strength, it becomes a testimony of love that the world can see. So I'm going to call the band up at this time. To end our time this morning, hopefully you were able to grab a pen and a couple of pieces of paper. I want us to think about how we are doing this. What is your strength? You don't have to write that down. But how does that strength come out as service in your world? So you can do one, you can do a couple. If you grabbed 10 by accident, you don't have to fill them all out, but do your best. What we're writing on this piece of paper is, what is an act of service that comes from my strength? A real action, a real thing, something that's arisen because of what God has given you as strength. So as the band plays, I just invite you to take a minute, think about it, ponder it, pray about it, and write it down. And then this is optional, but if you're willing, you can bring that piece of paper up and you can put it in this clear bowl. And that's a symbolic gesture. That's saying, I offer my gift of service, and I understand that there's a community dynamic to that. That our acts of service come from our love of God, and when they're combined, they add up. They make an impact for God's kingdom. So as the band plays, I just invite you to take some time, think about that, and in your own time, come on up and try to fill the bowl.